How's your garden doing, Earl?
Not good. Nothing's coming up.
What seeds did you plant?
Seeds? Was I supposed to plant seeds?
Things don't just happen. It gets done on purpose.
Growing in Christ takes discipline and habit.
Get off your butt and do it.
Go to the Speaking Deacons Essentials list only at thespeakingdeacon.com.
Speakingdeacon.com.
He's the Speaking Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Good morning, Father. What a glorious, victorious day that we worship the only living God, Jesus Christ, who is the King eternal, who will rule forever. And it is the fact of his resurrection that he beat death and he put it behind him and he rose from the grave that he is the first fruits of us who will someday follow him, for we will be like him. Now, Father, we ask that these truths be lifted up, encourage, empower us, that this gospel truth, the good news, would empower us to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We've got some incredible truths to go over this morning, and it's very exciting, and it's an incredible honor to be able to talk about Jesus and to celebrate this Easter Sunday, the day he rose from the grave. And that's what it's all about. Hey, Easter bunnies and Easter eggs are great. Jesus is greater. And this is some awesome stuff. So we're going to get right into it. Where we're going to hang our hats today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is where we're pulling all this awesome content. Now, I just want to give you a little background here. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. He was in Ephesus when he wrote it. It was around AD 54-55, which was about less than 20 years after the actual event of Jesus' resurrection. And he's encouraging a church. You know, that's the big trend of the New Testament epistles and letters, is encouraging the church to grow up, to believe the truth, to live for Jesus, because Jesus is true, Jesus is powerful, and we worship and serve a living God. And this is concise. So what happens is he gets these reports from the Corinthian church that there are folks there who didn't believe in the resurrection. Now here's the kicker. Not Jesus' resurrection. They didn't believe that human beings had a resurrection. Not an incarnation, a resurrection. And so Paul, when he was writing 1 Corinthians, was writing to them to let them know, hello, guess what? There is a resurrection of us. And so what chapter 15 is all about is he dives into them and he puts it out on the table about that we who follow Jesus Christ and those who don't will be resurrected. This life, this 80, 90 years that we live here is not the end. And that's very, all right, that shouldn't happen again. This is not the end. This is merely the prelude to life. And if you think we're living now, the scripture's going to correct you in a moment. This is exciting stuff. So let's dive right into it. In 1 Corinthians, starts off with, in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." You see, what's crucial here is this gospel, that's a transliterated word, gospel. Have you ever heard the term gospel truth? Just people use that as an off-the-cuff term. Gospel means good news. So when Paul's writing this, he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the good news I preach to you. Holy information, sacred news. This stuff, this information transforms lives. This is where it's at. If there's anything in our brains we must know for sure, and we must depend upon and live upon, it is the gospel, the good news truth. Everything else is irrelevant. All the religious facade that we have here, we've got some candles, we've got technology. This is all irrelevant. The gospel truth, the good news information, that's where the power is. And of course, there's Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's exciting stuff. Let's move on here. For what Paul writes in verse 3 and 4, he says this, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. One, I broke this up, I put those points there. One, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, number two. And number three, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. All of this is according to the Old Testament. All the good stuff that the New Testament writes about is always in according to the Scriptures, always referring to the Old Testament. And we got to be careful as American Christians. We think there's a New Testament that's for us and the Old Testament is for the Jews. No, you can't call yourself a Christian and ignore your Old Testament. The Old Testament is for us. And someday we'll go over why unpacking the laws, why we follow some laws and some we don't. There's answers to that. But today, the coolness of the Old Testament is that everything pointed to their coming Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah. Jesus' last name is not Christ, that's his title. He's the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. That's who he's talking about. All the Scriptures was about Jesus Christ from beginning to end. This is what it's all about. And that's why Paul begins it. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. And then he gives the gospel. And then he ends this part of the gospel by saying, on the third day, he was raised to life. This is essential. This is the key component right here. This is where we're going to hang our hat for the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, is that he was raised to life. That's what Easter's all about. Easter should be a bigger party than Christmas. It's great that Jesus was incarnated. It's even greater that he was resurrected, because that defeats death. Newsflash, death is not natural. It is not a big circle of life, Simba, Zumba, whatever he is. It is not that. That's cursed. That's evil. And one day God will destroy it. Death itself will be destroyed. It will get God's wrath. Death is not part of God's original design. It is not natural. So no matter how many National Geographic shows tell you otherwise, and Walt Disney, they're wrong. God is right. So let's move on. I want to point out something. Very important observation. Paul is getting ready to build a case for our future everlasting life, our eternal life, our eternal happiness. Paul is getting ready to build the case. I want to point this out because this is very important. He starts with the gospel, but he's building a case for the resurrection of us. He's building a case for our future, and he has to start with Jesus. That's what makes this so incredible. The truth of Jesus' resurrection is the foundation for his actual argument, which is our future. That's cool. That's an assumed truth. That means, oh, by the way, yes, Jesus is raised from the dead because, and thus so, we will be also. And that's the case he's building here. That's what makes Easter so exciting. So let's unpack this. He continues in verse 5, and that he, Jesus, appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Now keep in mind, when this was being written, And he writes this. He's writing this saying, oh, you don't believe me? Go ask Billy Bob down the street. He saw Jesus too. And go down to Cumberland and check out those folks there. They saw Jesus too. And go over here and check out them. These people were still alive when he was writing this letter. So he was telling people, go validate it somewhere else if you don't believe me. Those people believed it. They saw it also. That's pretty cool stuff. Now I'm going to jump to Mark. And was there other people who saw Jesus besides the one described here? Oh, yes. So we have the gospel according to Mark. We'll start at verse 5. It says, and when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Hello? Where did Jesus' bodies go? We helped lay him down here. Who are you, glow-in-the-dark guy in this cave tomb? What are you doing? Understand, something very significant is happening. And you all know what happened after that. Mary Magdalene went out, saw the Lord, and spoke with him. Incredible stuff. So these people are having these visions. Incredible stuff's taking place. And I think one of the evidences of its historicity, meaning it accurately happened this way, is the confusion. Is if this didn't happen, you know, if this was fake, then everyone would be like, well, yes, that's what he said. And it would be like a cheesy movie, like a Hallmark flick or something. Ugh. Anyway, but in this case, they're confused, right? They're like, what? They don't understand. And they're all got the deer in the headlights as they're experiencing the risen Lord. And I think that's an evidence that, you know, if you were writing a narrative to promote that your God's the greatest, you wouldn't have people being confused. You would have them, you know, happy little cards and whatnot. Another group of witnesses that is interesting we can find in Matthew 28, 11 through 15, is, I'll just read it to you. And then here's a highlighted verse. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. See, it wasn't just Mary Magdalene. These soldiers were there. Remember, they were guarding the tomb when the angels came down and moved the stone, and they got so scared they passed out. Right? Men, big brothers, men! And they're like, ah, angels! Right? It's not like the normal TV shows where like angels come in and we're like, oh, happy day. These angels scared the daylights out of them. And then after they saw the event, saw angels, saw Jesus, Mary's talking to Jesus, what's going on? These guards are there. Then they all run off, help me! And they run to their boss saying, hey man, glow-in-the-dark people, I was scared. And they're like, it's okay, have some money. Right? Money heals all things. And then says, by the way, don't mention any of this to anybody, would you? Just go away and say that you were sleeping. Well, I can't say I was sleeping. I'll get in trouble. No, got it covered, buddy. You're good to go. See you later. Right? And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Whatever you do, don't tell the truth. Because, right? That seems really smart. So, now we move on to Luke chapter 24. Here's a few more people who happened to see Jesus. That very day is the two disciples walking to Emmaus in the afternoon. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Well, that's cool. So now, what happens during that time, and I'm going to break into this, at the sunrise service, you would have heard more of the details, but Jesus started to expound Scripture, saying, from Moses right on through to the prophets and to the Psalms, where Jesus Christ had to suffer and die and then come back to life. The whole Old Testament has got the story weaved through it so miraculously about him. And so these guys are walking, listening to this mystery dude who they don't realize is Jesus yet, and they're listening to this, and they go, what? How does this guy know this stuff? This is crazy. This is great. Now here's where it gets cooler. After he taught them all day long, and they just think it's great stuff, he was pretending like he was going to go on. And they said, no, wait, have supper with us. Come on, just have supper with us. Maybe you can give us a little more of this Bible study. So he sits down with them, and it says in verses 30, when he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks, and then gave it to them. It says, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It's Jesus! And then he disappeared. Whoa! Dude! That's what they said to each other, because that's what the Hebrew means, dude. And then here's what they did. Here's kind of like, maybe imagine if we got that excited. Here's what they did. It's evening time. They just had their supper. This is what they did in verse 32 of chapter 24. Then they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. Guess what happened? Guess who we saw? It's awesome! It's crazy! Listen to this! Now, I'm not going to tell you what happens from then on. You've got to read it for yourself, but it's a riot. Okay, it's just a riot of unbelief and confusion and Jesus just doing all this awesome stuff. So let me encourage you, that's found in Luke chapter 24 and you can keep on reading from there. So, we're not even back to Corinthians yet. Here's all these other scriptures, testimonies of all these other people who have seen the risen Lord. Jesus who died and now came back to life, Jesus. This Jesus. Now we have Acts chapter 1. Luke, the doctor, who is very concise in his writings of historical events for the purpose of helping this fellow Theophilus, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit, the apostles he had chosen. And in verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So imagine coming in the room. No, guys, really, I'm alive. You're not alive. We watch you die. I'm alive. Look, here's some food. I'm alive. So he's giving them proofs for days. Actually, 40 days he spent with them. Yep, I'm still alive. And he's spending this time with them, convincing them, I know you saw me die on the cross. Yes, I did die on the cross. I'm alive. And that's, he's just there letting them soak him in and speaking about the kingdom of God. That's cool stuff. Now we jump back to 1 Corinthians 15:8. Paul continues. He says, and last of all, he appeared to me, also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He was the one who helped oversee the first martyr, Stephen. When Stephen's like, Jesus Christ is God, get him! And they took stones and they killed him. And Paul, who at that time was Saul, he's there going, good job. Let him die, that pig. What's he thinking? That evil, foul creature of a Christian. And now, Jesus reveals himself to him and says, you're going to serve me, buddy. That's why Paul writes that. Paul was a murderer. Paul would bust open this church when he was Saul, would bust open this church and wreck this service, try to arrest us, try to have us killed. He didn't like those Christians talking about that Messiah. And now he's an apostle who wrote half the New Testament letters. So he is very much saying this humbly. He goes on to write, but by the grace of God, Paul writes, I am what I am. And that is such a sweet statement, because that's my statement.
Did he really just say that? Maybe it's time to end for today. Catch the exciting conclusion tomorrow. You are always welcome to email, Facebook, or tweet us with your thoughts or comments. Truth is here.